You can think of our second reading today almost as a retelling of the story of the call of Abraham that we just heard read from Genesis 12. These are early verses in the Gospel of Mark. Let us listen for God's word for us. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Barbara Kingsolver's marvelous novel, Poisonwood Bible, tells the story of Nathan Price, who goes with his wife, Orleana, and their four daughters to the jungles of Congo. Nathan is a fundamentalist evangelist who plans to save Africa. It doesn't go well. It gets off at a bad start. They arrive at the airport for their transatlantic flight to discover that Pan American Airlines only allows 44 pounds of luggage per person. Nathan knows no one can save Africa with only 44 pounds of luggage per person. Fortunately for them, the airline weighs luggage, but not people, probably a good practice. So they began unpacking their luggage and putting it on themselves. The girls boarded the plane with six dresses and raincoats on. In their pockets were stuffed with everything from tools to Bibles. They couldn't leave this stuff behind. Who could blame them? We all want to get away from home from time to time, but if you think you might not come back, well, you want to take as much of home with you as you can. I think that's why I noticed the nets in this story. They dropped their nets, just left them behind. Jesus invites them on a road trip to destinations unknown. They will come to understand their place and purpose in the world differently. That's what he promises them. He says, "Follow me," and immediately they dropped their nets and followed. There's a lot that the story doesn't tell us. Had they met Jesus before? They probably had questions that weren't included. Where are we going exactly? How long is it going to take? Do I have the right shoes? Mark is silent on these details, so it's interesting that he takes time to tell us about the nets. This doesn't seem to be the kind of detail the story requires. Wouldn't it read just as impactfully had Mark told us, "Jesus said, 'Come and follow me,' and immediately they followed him." Following seems to be the point, but Mark wants us to know they left the nets. Maybe it's to remind us, if we are going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to leave some things behind. We're going to have to let some things go. Frederick Buechner had a different experience. Buechner was a Presbyterian pastor whose ministry was mostly consisted of writing books. He was the author of, I think, about 40 books. They ranged from fiction to collections of sermons to spiritual memoirs. He once wrote, "To become a Christian sounds something like an achievement, like becoming a millionaire. But I thought of it more as a lucky break, a step in the right direction." For Buechner, faith just happens almost by surprise. It's a lucky break. That's the grace of it. I understand what he means, but Mark describes a more intentional journey. And to really get on this road trip with Jesus, we are going to have to leave some things behind, some assumptions about ourselves and the world. We will need to let go of them. They drop their nets. It's more than simply dropping the tools of their labor. It's more than simply changing vocation. It's leaving behind their assumed place and purpose in the world. They were fishermen until here. The whole purpose of the day was about fish. Jesus says, I can make your purpose about people. It's a change of their whole meaning. After all, what is a fisherman without nets? Jesus says, I want to show you a new you, but you better leave some of this stuff behind. It's not easy. It was over 35 years ago now. I was arranging a garage sale for my mother. She was in her mid-50s and had suffered a disabling stroke. It was no longer wise for her to live alone. She had to downsize. So Carol and I were there, and we were arranging for a garage sale of things that weren't going to go to the new place. Because of her limitations, I was the one to choose what was to go in the sale. I would pick an item up, and I would carry it to the garage. To get to the garage, I had to pass through the kitchen where my mother had perched herself with a cup of coffee. And when I came through, she just shook her head, no. Take it back. So I would take that back, and I would go get something else, and I would come through. So I would go take that back, get something else. I had been at this over an hour, and the only thing I had successfully gotten to the garage were some old National Geographics, and she was still thinking about those. I said, look, this is not working. I said, here's $40. Go sit in the living room. I'm filling the garage. When I do, you can come buy $40 worth of your stuff back. She said, deal. I never knew how hard my mother could haggle at a garage sale. I was young and just didn't realize what was really going on. I thought we were downsizing. But she realized that she was dropping some nets, and it took courage, that life would be different now. I thought I was just selling some old books, two for a dollar. She knew she would never read again. I knew we could sell all of her serving dishes. She knew she would never again host her dinner party. What she was leaving behind was a way she had understood herself in the world. It was painful and required some courage. In some ways, Jesus' call is not altogether different. To leave behind some assumptions of who we are, it takes courage. So why would he do that? Why would he ask us to do that which is demanding, which can be difficult, painful even, requiring courage? We're in the season of Lent. Traditionally, Lent is a time when we focus on what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. Our faith is to shape our lives. Faith should influence the choices we make in the world. Everyday choices that we make should be guided by our faith. We are God's children, and we're called to live like we trust that is the truth. We're called to live like Jesus lived. It is the source of joy, even on hard days. Sometimes, like Buechner, it comes as a lucky break. But I resonate more with Mark, who says it takes some intention some encourage. We have to let go of some injuries. We may have to let go of some dreams. We let go of the way the world defines us and take on a new understanding of what really matters. In Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship, he says, when Jesus calls someone to come and follow, he calls them to come and die. I doubt my grandmother ever read Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but she would agree with him. She was a walking, talking Lenten experience year-round. Her faith was strong, but she was drawn heavily to the idea of sacrifice and suffering. As a middle schooler, I was a huge Atlanta Braves fan. And one day while staying with her, the Atlanta Braves were going to come on TV. This was before baseball was on TV every day. And so I pleaded with my grandmother, can I please, 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 please watch the game? No, she said, it's the Lord's Day. There'll be no baseball watching on the Lord's Day. I got in touch with my inner pest, and I pleaded some more. Please, please, please. I finally wore her down, and she said, okay, you can watch it if you promise not to enjoy it. Well, in those days, the way they played, that was a promise I could keep. If discipleship is so hard, why does Jesus ask us to sacrifice what we believe to be important in our lives? It's disappointing. Sometimes this walk of faith is always take up your own cross, turn the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7, love your inner enemies, be generous and gracious and kind even when others aren't. It seems as if Jesus says, come, follow me, and let us be miserable. My grandmother would approve. Why would Jesus do that? In short, I don't think he does. Let me tell you about one of my harder days, and it's not easy for me to tell you. It involves a choice I made, and you very likely might have made a different choice, perhaps a more faithful choice, but it is my story. Our daughter called and said, Dad, I need to talk to you. I said, come on. I was in my study at the church. She came after school got out. She said, Dad, I don't understand why you say we can't afford it when they say we can. It was the perfect question. She was talking about college. She and Carol mostly had visited about 18 different campuses, and she had picked the perfect school for her, the school of her dreams. I had been saving for this day since she took her first breath. It was my job as her father to provide for this basic but big dream. The day before this conversation, I'd gotten a report from the financial aid office. The school was not in the cards. And I had to tell my daughter that we couldn't do what she wanted to do, what she had dreamed of doing. She said, but Dad, they say we can afford it. Why do you say we can't? I said, sweetheart, there's something about our family that the school just doesn't understand. And that is one of the ways your mother and I practice our faith in Jesus Christ, is that we have every day of our marriage chosen to tithe 10% of our money to the church. The school assumes we would not do that. And if we do, that we would stop doing it now. But it's important to us. And I'm sorry, but that means we need to find another school. It was a hard day, and we both shed tears, me more than her. Now, my resilient daughter got an excellent education and is a pastor herself now. And when she got engaged, she sat her beloved down and said, "There is something about our family you need to know. We tithe, and I will do that too," she said. But it's hard because it means there are some other dreams that'll never be realized. So why does Jesus call us to live our faith in ways that are hard? Bonhoeffer said he bids us to come and die. My grandmother might say, "Come, let us be miserable." Well, I don't think that's what it really is. 20 years ago, my friend Brandt invited me to go with the scout troop on a canoe camping trip in Quetico, Canada. Our son was in the troop, and Brandt said it would be a good experience to share. I knew he was right, but I don't camp. I said, "Brandt, when you camp, you usually do it outside, right?" He said, "Yes, you do." And I said, And you sleep in tents?" He said, "Yes." I said, "So that's on the ground?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, and you'll sleep if you get a good spot for your tent." And I said, "Aren't there mosquitoes?" He said, "Oh, lots of them, and some of them are the size of house pets." And I said, "What do you do when it rains?" He said, "Well, if you're like most, you'll get wet." He said, "But I can teach you how to hang our food in a tree so that the bears don't eat it all." I said, "Sounds lovely." I love my son and I love Brant, so I had dropped my common sense like fishing nets and abandoned them. I have been back 15 times now. I discovered a part of myself in those woods that I never knew I was missing. I discovered a beauty that I had not seen elsewhere. There is something holy about conversation around the campfire when there's nothing else to do because you couldn't catch Wi-Fi with anything. And there's a gracious kind of humility that happens beneath the stars or in the face of nature's strength. There's a right sizing that makes you feel both humble and grateful at the same time. It takes sacrifice, but the sacrifice is not what you focus on. It's the joy. I think that's why Jesus says, "Come on, I want you to walk with me." It's a call that never stops and the journey never ends. But to follow, we have to let go of some of who we thought we were and what we assumed life was for. Now, I don't have time today to go, well, actually, I do, but you probably don't want me to go into all that we must leave behind, but I imagine you already know that. Today, I just want to say Jesus calls us to follow, and particularly when it's hard, it's important to remember he calls us to do so for the same reason he does everything else, because he loves you. And he has seen who we can become. And he is dying to show us what it looks like. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.